Always Holding a Smallville is brought to you by listeners like you. Nathan McKenzie, Tim Miller, John Curcio, Jazam Maja, Chris Fuchs, John Lloyd, Atif Sheik, Justin Maitner, Gavante Chillis, Molly Ficarella, Thomas Navin, Mike Franz, Joe Mikendo, Trayvon Brady, Dylan D'Antonio, Steve Rogers, Eddie Bissell, Cameron Mindard, Nick Ryan Magdoza, Becca Zeifel, Nicholas Casso, Tom Gerke, Nicholas Fansler, Darren Kirsch, T. Hamill, Jared Gibbs, Braden Arnold, and Erica Flynn. Thank you so much to all these patrons, and you too can become a patron by going to patreon.com/alwaysmallville with one S. Hope to see you there.
I'm Michael Rosenbaum, Lex Luthor, and always hold on to Smallville.
Welcome to Always Holding a Smallville. On this podcast, we talk about each and every episode of the Young Superman show that ran from 2001 to 2011. But guess what? It's kind of coming back again.
Is this when I go, ayo?
Yes, there it is.
I listened to it earlier. Hi, everyone.
We have Lauren Wynn with us to talk about Erica Durant's returning.
Yes. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness.
As yes. Not just, you know, to Superman or to, you know, she's been in Supergirl as Supergirl's mom, the recast Supergirl's mom. But our Lois Lane from Smallville is coming back in live action in multiple episodes. The news broke today around the same time as Tom Welling's news broke yesterday. So it's like, what
right.
Are you trying to give me a heart attack, CW?
It's what time did it come out today? Like around noon?
It was Eastern around noon. Time? It was around the same time as yesterday.
Yeah, so I don't know. We'll see what happens tomorrow. Maybe we'll see like Michael Rosenbaum up on the Twitter or something. I don't know.
I mean, at this point, I've been conditioned to expect this news every day, so I'm gonna be there's gonna be a little hole in my heart every noon time when there's not Justin Hartley isn't announced in the crossover.
Oh my goodness! See, I don't even know where to begin with this. So first off, hey everyone, it's me, the crazy Lois Lane fan. Somehow got asked back, but. No, I didn't get asked back. I like suggested that I come back for this.
No, I got a message, or was it on Twitter? Or I don't know. We were talking on Twitter, and then you messaged me on Facebook or something, and we were talking. And you're like, "Hey, if you do a podcast about this, I want to be the guest." I was like, "Well, you know, I didn't plan on it, but I was considering it, and now you've kind of pushed me over the edge to do it because you know, yesterday was Welling, and I thought, all right,
right.
When they get Welling, you're like. You have to do, obviously, it's like the biggest news ever for if you're a Smallville fan in 2019. Right. It's the story of the year, right? So break it here. I hope you guys appreciate the dedication. This is live, right? This is day of breaking news. So this is fun to do, though.
Two nights in a row,
right? A Friday night, no less. So thank you for staying up late, Laura, for this.
Well, you don't need to out us as losers, but.
So when you get Welling, I'm like, all right. I bet they're going to get Durant because she's been on Supergirl already. She's a phone call away.
Right.
I said that in the podcast Lance and I did yesterday. And today, here it is. She's back. I was like, so it's odd to me that they would go back to back. You'd think they'd like announce them together, but I guess they're getting their maximum news coverage by spreading out the announcements, huh?
They are. And, you know, I didn't have the benefit of, like, joining in on the conversation yesterday, which it's funny because I did listen to, like, the podcast between you and Lance, like, earlier today. So I didn't get the benefit of saying this. But I think I kind of just assumed that Tom would be in it, even though that was, like, crazy of an expectation. But because when it was announced, I realized that I already assumed that he was going to be in it, which I didn't think I knew on a conscientious, I didn't think I knew that. But deep down somewhere, I just expected he was going to be in it. And then once it came down to that, I realized, oh, I thought I wouldn't know this until 3 weeks before. Because then I thought that was like their secret weapon, like announcement. Like now you have to watch it. Everyone has to watch it. So like you said, it was crazy that it came out today. And then they're just really milking it for all it's worth with announcing Erica the day after.
But now, I mean, like, I don't even know what to think. like the,
we're
the
just
sky,
like drunk on this, basically.
The sky's the limit. I didn't even mention Laura Vandervoort yesterday as Supergirl.
Well, you saw all those things she was doing on Twitter where she's like, what's this crisis everyone keeps on talking about? I'm like, is this planned? Is this sowing a seed right now?
Yeah, I don't know. It is funny. She was on Twitter to mention what you're talking about. She fans were asking her about it, and she legitimately said, like, all right, everybody keeps asking about Crisis on Infinite Earths. What is this? She had no concept of it.
Which, let's take a moment. Let's take a moment to appreciate this this actress who played Supergirl like 10 years ago doesn't know about this story.
Exactly. I think she's honestly doesn't know about the story. Unlike Rosenbaum, who was quoted, I don't know, a couple weeks ago, 2-3 weeks ago, they asked him about Crisis. Like, no, nobody's asked us, man. We don't know anything about it. Like, I don't know if it was at a convention or something, but I think he was putting on because obviously they've been talking to Tom and Michael.
Oh, yeah.
With Stephen Amell playing the long game by opening a wine company
literally,
and
like,
starting a brand.
You know, it's funny. I've been watching a Mad Men a lot, and like what Stephen is doing just feels completely like the 60s, like advertising, like courting level of just trying to get someone on your team. I was like, that's basically what he's been doing.
Yes.
Like, you know, he's been whining and dining them, literally.
Yeah, and just behind the scenes wise, everybody should know that Stephen Amell is one of the main guys driving this to happen because he knows it's what the fans want. So
it's amazing.
You might not see it, like, you know, credited on screen or whatever, but just know behind the scenes, he is the guy pushing this through, and all credit to him.
He's our Make-A-Wish Foundation.
we're gonna miss him when he's gone because he really has been a great ambassador for the fans and a good social media presence and conventions. Like, this guy, he has embraced the fandom and knows where his bread is buttered, right? And takes care of the people who are fans of him.
Absolutely. Also, have you seen his current Twitter profile picture?
Oh, it's him with Kingdom Come Superman.
If no one has seen it, it's an action figure of Green Arrow, his Green Arrow, with his arm around a very Brandon Routh looking Kingdom Come Superman.
Yes.
And it'd be funnier if it was like Tom Welling's action figure from Smallville. Do you remember like the season one?
Yes.
The sweater. Or like the Justice one that came out like in season 6. It would be more funny if it was that action figure because it'd be like Steven, like, hey, I made this happen. But
right.
Totally. I'm okay with it being the Brandon Routh one.
Yeah, with Brandon Routh, like, of course he was going to be in it because he plays the Atom. But I've always been disappointed that, you know, they do alternate universes and stuff all the time and time travel and all these things, especially on Legends, right? I'm like, how did they not get him in a Superman costume for Elseworlds, right? I mean, come on. When you got Oliver Queen as the Flash, I can't get Brandon Routh as Superman. That's one of the first things they announced on Crisis on Infinite Earths at Comic-Con. That was a big reveal. He came out in his Kingdom Come t-shirt, right?
Right, and that sort of, I think that set the tone of, like, we don't know what can happen. And then all the other ones kept on coming out. You know, Kevin Conroy as Batman, Burt Ward as Robin, basically everything I think that you went over one podcast ago, but I'm reacting live to this, like,
yes.
Now, so. Anyway, I believe you're here to talk about my favorite, like, person ever.
Yes, to Erica Durance, right? So this news broke this afternoon. Erica Durance herself, she retweeted one of the stories saying, so happy to finally be able to announce this. So obviously this has been in the works for a while.
I wonder how long she's been sitting on that.
For Mark Guggenheim, right? The master of the Arrowverse. He tweeted, he just said, of course, hashtag Crisis on Infinite Earths. And he retweeted one of the stories about her being back with Tom. And I think one of the most interesting things about her is it says she's in multiple episodes.
Yes.
Now, this is something that was not said about Welling. We don't know what his role is going to be at this point. And I wager that they don't know at this point, right? I'm sure there's a lot of moving pieces to try and continue to get more characters because they add more people in, you know, they'll shift people around. Like if Rosenbaum does it, which at this point, I think it's an inevitability. And now I will feel very disappointed.
Will you? I was going to say, will you feel disappointed if he's not in it?
I will. I will because like you. It's like deep down inside, I was like, well, you have to get Tom Welling for this, right? I mean, you just have to. But also, I had that same feeling back in the Smallville series finale. We're like, well, he has to wear the costume, right? He has to.
I don't want to go back to that dark place.
But this is the time for redemption. So
that's the thing is, okay, I do really want to talk about Erica because I'm so stoked about that. But to touch on Tom real quick, I feel like he has to wear the costume. I'm basically just responding to everything you said earlier today on the first, on the like the part one of this podcast, basically. I feel like he has to wear it because he did it 10 years ago. He knows he messed up. And even though he's coming back, like he has to wear it, right?
I don't know. I would be shocked. I would be shocked. I would find it more amusing if they, how they would get around it. You know, here's my prediction.
I know that it's like, it's in character for Tom not to do this, but come on. Like, I think I'd rather he not be in it if he's not going to wear the costume again.
Bold words. I don't know. See, if you would have asked me this a week ago, I would have said, yeah, he better wear the costume. How dare he even show up and not wear the costume? But now that he's like officially back, I'm like, oh, he's back. It's fine. Just do whatever you want, Tom. Like, really, I genuinely feel that way. Now, come December or January, I don't know which episode he's going to be in.
It's so painful that split up. So painful.
I don't know. But if I had to make my prediction, I would say he doesn't wear a costume, but there's some kind of meta joke or reason for it. It might be a form of a costume, like Lance and I talked about, but I don't...
No,
like
I don't,
Lance, I don't
want
think he's
a red
in...
Matrix cape.
I really like the season 9 getup. If they just make that more costumey and less trench coaty, less matrixy, because
no,
I prefer the season 9
look
to the season 10 look.
He doesn't have to wear trunks, but he has to wear a onesie and he has to have a cape. That's what Superman wears. I'm sorry.
Well, he's not playing Superman. He's playing Clark Kent, right? So just pay attention to the terminology. I don't know, because it's weird to me, and we will get... The reason we're doing this is to talk about Erica Durance and Lois Lane, but
I know,
you're right.
We
need to respond to all this. So, yeah, and you're the biggest Lois Lane fan. You're
I know.
So we need to just respond to it. So I need to respond to it. So Brandon Routh as quote-unquote Kingdom Come Superman, I think that's a misnomer. I think he's going to be an older Superman wearing that costume, but
right,
I think he's
also...
Right, because
they said that they can't get the return suit.
Which is
like
bizarre.
That's the reason why he's. I know it's really weird.
But you know what? That's fine because I don't like the return suit. The return suit. The first picture of Brandon Routh that came out was on my birthday in 2005, and that was like the worst birthday present ever. I was like, why is he wearing this fruit roll-up cake and this maroon color and this over-stylized 3D nonsense? What's with his hair? Like, I was not a fan.
Wait, I love his hair.
His little fake curly hair. Like when it gets wet at the end. It looks good, like more disheveled, but it looks too perfect. It looks fake, and I'm not a fan of the aesthetic of Brandon Routh's Superman. So him not wearing that costume is great news in my book. So Alex Ross has already done an artist interpretation of what he would look like, of what what Brandon Routh would look like as King Kong Superman. And remember, guys, back in the day, Alex Ross also had a rendering of what Tom Welling looked like as Superman, so...
He did. I forgot about that.
Coming 2007, and it was a picture of Tom Welling in a costume. So.
Speaking of renderings, I want to shout out Spider Monkey.
Oh yes,
I'm really bad at shouting people out. / This guy has a lot of characters in his name. It's like Spider Monkey something something. There's X's and there's Roman numerals in there.
Go to the Always Hold on the Smallville Twitter at Always Mobile with one S, and you'll see. I retweeted it and made a comment about it, and it's the most glorious piece of fan art I've ever seen of Tom Welling in a Superman costume in front of the Earth in space. And if he looked like that, I think we'd all have a collective heart attack. But as I say in my tweet, there's no way he's gonna look like that.
He could look like that. The only thing stopping him from looking like that is if Tom Welling decides to be, I don't know, either insecure or too arrogant.
Well, what more do you want from this guy? He's already coming back.
I want him to wear a suit! That's what I want! 10 years ago, the superhero costumes have come really, really, really far. There was no way to really make a leather equivalent of the Superman costume back then. They tried, and, it was just a jacket. But, you know, Justin Hartley's, a leather moto suit, that looked amazing as Green Arrow. But there wasn't, a strong, we needed to see Green Arrow look a certain way. With the suit, I can sort of understand it, because anything that they made for Tom probably would not have looked as good as what... like Tyler's wearing now, or what I imagine Brandon's going to be wearing. But now the technology's here, and they could literally do all the work for him. What's his name? Tyler Hoechlin was actually pretty skinny last year for the crossover, and he was wearing a lot of padding. So it's like, Tom, just let them pad you up. They'll make you look amazing. Just have faith. The CW has one job. It's make people look beautiful.
Yes.
For real now. For real now. Lois Lane. Erica Durance is Lois Lane.
Yes.
She's back. She's back, and she's, what most people, I think most people, like, within 10 years of our age bracket, like, they would call her the definitive Lois Lane, like the best Lois Lane. She's had, like, not only has she literally had more screen time than anyone. Wait, that's correct, right? Four seasons of Lois and Clark. I actually kind of mentioned this on Twitter earlier. It's really crazy to me because I love Amy Adams. It's a testament to, like, how amazing the Erica's Lois was, that, like, you know, one of the most talented actresses in Hollywood, which, like, that's, like, basically an objective fact. Amy Adams has Leonardo DiCaprio level of Oscar snobs, I guess, at this point. Like, she's was nominated so many times, it just didn't work out. The fact that, like, her successor, like, didn't leave as much of a footprint as she did. I mean, given she didn't have as much time, but, like, that's, it's just crazy, like, to think of, like, all the Lois Lanes and, like, the one from over 10 years ago is the one that, like, still is, like, shining, like, so heavily in our heads.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it goes to longevity, writing, and performance. Like, it was a trifecta of hitting
a perfection.
Yeah. Well, and I've said this before, and I do stand by it. I think she really flourished in starting in season 8 when they let her be Lois Lane. Because the struggle for several years on the show was Chloe was Lois Lane. I'm not saying, like, Chloe was Lois Lane, even though I was saying that back in the day. The point is, she served that function on the show. And when you have you have Chloe working at the Daily Planet from seasons 5 through 8, you know, it's like, oh, well, Lois is here too sometimes, but she doesn't really care about journalism. And they just gave Lois stuff to do to keep her around for a couple, like, I'm Jonathan Kent's campaign manager. I work at the Talon. Like, I'm working for Martha now. I'm like, what? Why is she doing these things, you know? So once they finally got through all that and the soft reboot of season 8, she was, from the jump, she was straight up Lois Lane for the last 3 years, and that was great.
I think I even told you this, how, like, I was, or maybe I didn't, even though I was a Smallville fan, around season 5 or 6, I just fell off the map because of high school, whatever. And then what I would do is every year, like, on Christmas break, I would catch up with everything I've, like, stopped watching. So I'd, like, catch up, like, what did I miss the last half of the last season? Then I'd watch the first half of the next season, and then I'd fall off the map for another year. But then I finally got back on the horse in 2008. When season 8 happened, and it was just too good for me to, like, drop it again. And that's when, like, then that's basically when I became a Superman fan. Mm-hmm. Like, hard, not just, like, a Smallville fan who thought Superman was cool, but, like, you know, really started investing in, like, all the, that's when I went to the Blockbuster and got all the old Superman movies to watch and, like, you know, really committed to it.
There you go.
And basically, yeah, I agree that season 8 Lois is just everything.
And it's great to, it just, not to say that this legitimizes Smallville, because it doesn't need legitimization, but just the fact that it's now part of this bigger universe, and we're gonna get to see.
I'm so glad
an on-screen continuation, in however small a part. Because let's be real, right? These are 5 episodes, mm-hmm. 5 hours mm-hmm. of television, and there's, like, you know, 100 characters to juggle, and, you know, Tom's coming back as Clark Kent, and Erica's coming back as Lois Lane, and Erica's going to make in multiple episodes. So that is very encouraging to me that they know that already. So perhaps she is the bridge to the Smallville world. And she's like, oh, well, this looks like a job for my husband. And then they bring in, you know, Clark. Because at this point, hopefully they're married. I know he had to go stop that bomb in an elevator at the finale, and they had to wait on their wedding again. Tell the minister, I might be a few minutes late. The last lines of the show. But this is after that, I assume. Like, I assume this is going to be in, like, because that was in 2018. And so that was just a year ago in the real world. But
I know.
Man, they aged a lot. That was a rough year. That was a rough year at the Daily Planet for Lois and Clark. They aged a lot in the last year.
So, Erica, the verbiage that they use is really interesting, because we are focusing on Erica being in multiple episodes, and we're also focused on them saying Clark Kent. I feel like it's just, like, a technicality. They can't say Tom Welling back is, like, the iconic Superman, because he was Superman,
Superman
one episode. Yeah. So it just wouldn't be correct to say that. He's got to be Superman. And if not, then I'll be eating crow in a couple months. But for now,
crow.
I'm just really. Okay.
I'm sorry. Couldn't help myself.
I know you couldn't. But otherwise, I'm just excited because, I mean, there's a lot that's going on here. part of me is slightly scared because this is the potential to open up something that we said goodbye to, you know, in two ways. Like, this is the potential to open up the Superman return story. If it's that Superman again, if it's the Christopher Reeve Superman, then I have to accept whatever happened in that universe. And now it's opening up something that I like shut the book on for a long time. Something I shut the book on and called perfection, basically, you know? So I'm kind of scared. I feel like they know that they can't mess it up, but I'm still so terrified, but also excited.
Well, also, think about this. The Crisis on Infinite Earths, it's destroying every universe. So,
I know.
It's like, oh, great, we get to see Tom Welling back. Oh, and this Marvel universe is destroyed. Have fun. It's like, oh, no. I didn't think
this
through.
Well, you know what? You know what, though? So Arrow might be ending, but The Flash is then the flagship show of the CW, mm-hmm. correct? Like, with Arrow ending, The Flash then takes over as the flagship superhero show. And The Flash, they have too much fun with all their worlds.
Yeah.
Like, but then again, we've also been speculating for a long time, is this how Black Lightning and Supergirl get folded into the same, like, the same world or the same universe? So who knows? On one hand, I want to say that we'll have all the worlds still because it's too much fun for them. Mm-hmm. Plus, just the infinite possibilities of always being able to get someone from some other universe.
Right.
I don't know. I'm scared and excited.
I mean, I thought maybe we'll get an animated movie from Smallville, you know, at some point in the next 5 to 10 years. That's that's all I thought there would ever be an extent. And then at a point, and I love animation, right? I think the best DC universe is the DC animated universe, Batman, the animated series, all that, right? But it's not the same thing as live action because Smallville was a live action show. So any kind of comic continuation, a comic book, right?
You don't get the micro expressions that you get from the actors that are like beloved after all this time, and you don't hear like the score, and like it's not the same drama. Mm-hmm.
Because of changing formats. So I think something self-contained animation can be amazing, but when you go from one format to another, it's not the same. But now it's going to be the same.
So that said, and actually, I just want to issue a really quick apology because as someone who says they're a Lois Lane fan, like, I've just derailed this entire podcast so much. I'm just really, guys,
but you had
I'm just
plans,
I know I'm sorry, everyone. I'm just really, really excited. There's a lot to process, but going back to Erica, like, so do you have any hopes, like, what are you excited for? Like, for me, just hearing Erica like say Clark again, like, I'm gonna start crying my eyes out.
I want to see some arm punches, definitely. All right. I mean, that's like their thing, you know, so we need to see that.
And her calling him Smallville,
right? I've never liked Lois Lane in glasses. I don't know why that's a thing, because I mean, like, if you just think about that, people, Lois Lane cannot tell Clark and Superman apart because he wears a pair of glasses. Well, she doesn't need to be wearing glasses because that, you know, Superman Returns started that crap, right? Kate Bosworth is wearing glasses in some scenes. And then, like, the future Lois, quote-unquote, on Smallville, and Homecoming, and the finale, and in Salvation, she's wearing a pair of glasses. It's like, is this just to make her look older? Like, I just, again...
I mean, people's eyesight does deteriorate when they get older. You know, Lois Lane probably has her iPhone text set to, like, the larger...
Fair enough. Okay, but my point is, I don't want to see Lois Lane glasses. I just don't want to see it.
I don't mind it.
So,
But I can't wait to see Erica like dressed like as Lois again, because that's a gift in itself. Like, mm-hmm. Just like to see. I don't know what I need Tom Welling to look like, but like I haven't seen. I never watched any of her shows afterwards. But you know, seeing Erica Durance like in pencil skirts and like college shirts and like, you know, her suit like combos that she wore, like, that's gonna look so awesome. Like, I'm not even like joking, that's her like superhero costume to me, and I'm so excited to see this actress like look like that again.
Also, I definitely think they need to be married. Like, I know I was joking about it earlier, but they just, okay guys, that was 8 years ago.
Even though technically it's only a year ahead of time, the way they look will imply that it's like 10 years later.
Yeah, and that's something else I'm trying to figure out. Like, are they going to, is it 2029 in the Smallville timeline at this point? Like, I don't, it doesn't matter. But it's just, for people like us, it's interesting. Because, I mean, that was so cool last year. Like, right. Today's the day. Election Day 2018. This is the day. This is the day of the Smallville finale. So, but yes, I definitely want them to be married. I don't want them to have kids. I don't want them to have a baby or anything. You know, I think...
That was my next question. Because we have the potential for two John Kents in this... in this crossover.
Exactly, because that storyline is already happening with the Tyler Hoechlin Superman. So we don't need the Tom Welling Superman to also have that storyline.
But if it was the Tom Welling Superman, then John would be, like, of age, like the age he was in, when he was in Super Sons. Like, there's the potential to have that.
If they're...
I know it's really, really busy, but just let me go off on my tangent yes, here.
Okay, all right.
Because if it's not going to happen, I can at least think about it for a second.
I think we'll see them as reporters of the Daily Planet. Can we get Michael McKean for do a voiceover behind a door again? That's the real question.
Great, Caesar's ghost.
But to have, it's interesting that Lois is gonna be like in the thick of things here, you know.
But she always is.
But she is always is. So I don't.
That's why we love her.
We just don't know the mechanism of how they're gonna bring these characters together, because that will inform.
Right.
The characters we see. Like I want to get caught up with him like a day in the life of what these guys are like post-finale, right? That's what I want.
Right.
And that's what the article's called. Like, we're going to catch up with the characters, but that could mean anything. We're reading so much into just a press release, a glorified press release, right? We don't know. But that's exciting, too. We don't know.
Right.
So do I want to see that, but then also, I think if, like, Earths are being destroyed and stuff, and they escape somehow, like, they're going to be like, you know, oh my god, we've been running from this anti-monitor thing, right? So they're not going to be the characters we remember. They're going to be the characters we remember, but in this story, if that makes sense. So I don't know.
The characters we remember, but like they've gone through maybe a little bit of trauma,
yes.
I guess.
Yeah, so those are my, I guess, hopes for, or expectations for her, for Erica Durant coming back as Lois Lane. What about you? Is there anything specific that you want to see or don't want to see?
I've been trying to think about this all day. How do you think Bitsy Tulloch's Lois Lane will interact with Erica Durant's Lois Lane? Like, think of like the Council of Wells thing that we get like every year on The Flash, yeah, but like with Lois Lane's, it's like, do they immediately dislike each other? Do they immediately like trust each other? Or are they immediately like, oh, I'm all about what she's about or whatever? You know, like it could go so many ways.
I think they're going to find themselves like sisters in arms, so to speak, because they're going to have a very unique worldview that only the two of them would have. It's like, I'm married to Superman. Right. So there's going to be some like shared, like, oh really, oh yes, Mike Clark does that all the time too, like that conversation will happen. Like, I think they'll connect on that level.
Oh, a little bit. But I also want them to pass a Bechdel test.
Oh, very true together, right? Yeah,
like it's weird because you like the idea of witnessing that, but then my feminist brain's like, but there should be more than that.
I see your point too. But yes, and I want them to be a part of the story, you know, not just like,
yeah,
tagging along because
the way Bitsy was like last year,
exactly,
making stuff happen.
Yeah, that was exactly.
I mean, and that's what Lois always did in Smallville. Like, she always like she was never in shortage of any danger when she was getting involved to help out Clark. Mm-hmm.
I think they'll do. Now that we're talking about this, I think they'll do a switch where Tyler saves Erica and Tom saves Bitsy. I think that's what they'll do.
Oh my god!
Right? Isn't that great?
Oh man, yeah. And can you imagine if one of them calls them Smallville, but it's like kind of awkward?
Yeah, that's all. Oh, that's great. She calls Tyler Smallville. He's like,
I don't
what?
Know what you like. What if she says something like, "Oh, you're not my Smallville, but you're still Smallville," or something? Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm trying to think of like all her iconic uses of Smallville. Like, you put the Smallville in Smallville, or like, I guess I can't call you Smallville anymore. Like, it needs to be something very much on the nose.
Yes,
we're basically writing this. I hope someone's listening to this podcast and just like writing our expert dialogue down.
Well, I mean, how much fun is this to speculate about, hey, what's Erica Durant going to do next as Lois Lane? Like, what are you talking about? This is 2019.
I know.
What a world.
You know, it's funny. One of my friends, she's based in Australia, and like, she was sleeping. And like, I literally just started yelling at her through chat because she missed the Tom Welling thing yesterday. I was like, girl, you got to learn. You got to just change your sleeping schedule because you know this stuff is going to drop when you're sleeping. It's just wild. It's stuff that like... kind of interrupts your entire day. Wait, did you see my tweet earlier? Because I can't help but think of Henry, who is a giant Superman fan. Because I don't know if you've noticed, but Superman tends to attract actors who maybe, like, it's well known that Tom's not a Superman fan. And, like, Tyler, like, he does it, but he's not, like, super invested in it. He, like, purposefully, like, stayed away from all the materials. And he just kind of showed up and, like, went into it dry. But Henry is, like, a Superman fan. He reads comics. He's a nerd. He has a motorcycle helmet with Superman on it. I just imagine him, like, kind of by himself and, like, looking at all this news, like,
I didn't think about
that. I feel so bad for him. Because, I mean, like, he's Superman, and he's, like, you know, the quote-unquote cool Superman, whatever. But this has got to suck. There's literally, like a party being thrown by three other Superman actors right now. And he's not part of it. And it sucks. And also, like, while his... It's not like his movie's, like, in production right now. It's like he's missing out. Like, definitively missing out.
Well, I mean, your point about people who play Superman are Superman fans. And Brandon Routh, famously, you know, he used to... He dressed up as Superman at, you know,
right,
parties and all that kind of thing. And
that is why I like him.
There is one notable exception to that rule, and that is Mr. Tom Welling. But he played Clark Kent, so it's a difference, right? So anyway.
Oh, my goodness.
All right, so before we go, we had an email today from Adam Parker, longtime listener and supporter of the show, so shout out to you, Adam, and sent me an email. It says, Smallville returns. I have so many questions. This is what he says. Hey, Zach, I honestly couldn't believe my eyes, ears, seeing that Tom and now Erica will be back for Crisis. This generates so many questions, but I'm sure you and Lance will tackle them in due time on the podcast. What do you think, Lance?
Dot, dot, dot.
It's a little joke because she's not Lance. But anyway, I was so keyed up, I actually put on Homecoming, maybe my personal pick for a favorite episode. Not necessarily best, but one of my favorites just to watch, and it got me thinking. What do you think are the top five must-watch episodes for someone wanting to get a feel for Smallville and be ready for Crisis? Maybe for someone who is curious about Smallville and wants to appreciate the crossover but hasn't seen it, or at least wants to re-hit the highlights before December. Not necessarily the best episodes, period, but the ones that would help you know the world going into Crisis. I'll probably try my hand at it, but I'd love to hear your recommendations. So pumped for season 5 on the pod. In my memory, it was one of my favorite seasons. We'll see if it holds up. Adam Parker. So I wanted to read that because I think that's a really interesting question. Like, what five episodes of Smallville would you recommend to someone? And I'll go first because I know you just,
well, I mean, yeah.
You just heard the question. I read it before, so you process it. You know, I think, first of all, you got to go with the pilot, right? Because that establishes the character, the
universe
you're dealing
with here.
You have
to watch the pilot that's not on Hulu, as I mentioned last time.
You mentioned that in the podcast we did last season.
I mentioned this in the
podcast.
And if, in case y'all haters skipped my episode, I'm going to reiterate it for people who are showing up just because we're talking about the Crisis. The version on Hulu is missing like three quintessential scenes that literally just rip all the character out of the pilot. It's missing the scene where Clark fantasizes that he's running around as a football star. It takes away the scene where he talks to his dad later and like they actually have like a heart to heart. It takes away the scene when he stacks the trucks after prom or after the dance or whatever. And literally all those scenes like are the ones that make you feel kind of fluffy and good on the inside. So for whatever reason, they're not on the Hulu version of it. Or if they are, they were not when I watched it like 2 years ago or something. So if you want to watch Smallville, if anyone's tuning in and you haven't watched it for some reason, you're just tuning in for the Crisis buzz or whatever, watch the pilot, but don't watch it through Hulu. Make sure that it's like extra long and that you got the right cut.
You know, I appreciate your advice, but I would advise everyone, if Hulu's the only way you can watch it, it's okay. It doesn't ruin the show. But
the pilot.
If anything, it cuts out Clark being a jerk, which is a common theme. Superman just being a dick to people. You know, that's what he does. He's like, oh, you were a jerk to me? I'm going to destroy your truck. Like, that's what would Superman do? Right? You know, I'm just saying.
A 14-year-old Superman.
Also, the I'm imagining I'm a football player thing was kind of odd. You don't get anything like that in any other episode of Smallville, really, where he's daydreaming like that.
You're pushing back really hard on this.
But this is, you know, it's tick for tack here, you know? Counterpoint, all right?
Sure.
Devil's advocate, all right? But the extended stuff with his dad is good. I'll give you that. So.
Right. So we both agree the pilot should be watched. What are the four episodes you also think that should be watched?
Rosetta.
That was my second one.
Christopher Reeve episode because, I mean, it's Christopher Reeve. Right? It's literally the passing of the torch from one Superman to the next. Also, he finds out he's from Krypton, mm-hmm. Kal-El, right? It's a very essential episode for the evolution of the character. So I think that's a must-see. So that's two down. Now it gets a little tougher.
Well, I'm wondering if your next choice is going to be my next choice, because we're two for two.
I didn't realize. Are we doing it this way? Is this how we're doing it? Okay.
I guess so. So
this is how we're doing it now. So, all right. The third episode. It's tough. What? All right, fine. If we're doing it this way, let me guess. Would you say Crusade?
Is that the... Gone is the one that comes after that, isn't it?
Yes.
Then yes, it's Crusade.
Now, I don't know I would pick that one. You're picking it because it's Lois's first episode, and it's the first episode he flies, right?
I'm literally picking it for the two most important minutes of Smallville ever, probably, which is...
for you.
I mean, best cold open in all of Smallville. I maintain that that's it. It's the introduction of Lois. So, and also it has Margot Kidder in it.
Very true. Chris Reeve and Margot Kidder. Yeah. No, to Adam's point, it's not like the best episodes, right? Although that was a really good episode.
That was the episode that changed our expectations of like Superman in flight for years.
Yes. And then we didn't see him fly again.
I know.
So, all right. So 3 for 3 there. Good. Oh man. After that. You see, here's the thing. If any of the other Justice League members from Smallville were going to be in the crisis, I would say, oh, well, Justice, slam dunk. But if they're not, is that really that essential an episode? I'm just not sure. My mind wants to say Justice, but let's hold on the fourth one. All right, we'll come back to that. The fifth one is Homecoming, the 200th episode. Clark and Lois. I think that's the first time they say they love each other.
Did they say they love each other? And it's the first time Clark like willingly flies on his own. But Homecoming is my number four.
Oh.
So what's my number five? It's very easy after that.
The finale, huh? Yeah. That makes sense. Yeah. Okay. So.
Yay! Five for five.
Number four is Homecoming. Number five is not. So you think I'm the same Smallville way of thinking. Very good. Very good. So amazing. I would. So it. In summary. If we're gonna watch five episodes of Smallville before the Crisis on Infinite Earths to acclimate yourself to the universe, the characters, and the actors, Pilot, Season 1, Episode 1, Rosetta, Season 2, Episode 17, look at that, huh? Let me pull out that number.
I know.
Crusade, Season 4, Episode 1, Homecoming, Season 10, Episode 4, and Finale, Season 10, Episodes 21 and 22. So there you have it.
There we have it. The always hold on to Smallville challenge.
There it is. Yeah. Yes. I accept the hashtag always on the Smallville challenge. So, no, thanks, Adam. I think that was a great creative question. And yeah. If people really, I think there, it's interesting. Like, I've seen people out there that say, like, oh, you know, I never bothered with the Arrowverse, but I love Smallville. I'm going to check this thing out. Like, there's a lot of people out there saying that. But then also there's a lot of people on the other side who's like, hey, you know, I watched Arrow and Flash and I always heard about Smallville, but I never checked it out. But yeah, I mean, I guess I will now since they're being a part of the crisis. So there's going to be bringing fans together like this and interest in other areas. So it's great that that's happening. And I think, you know, for a Cliff Notes version, you know, to Smallville, like that's a good place to start those five episodes.
Yeah. Though, well, actually, I actually don't know if I think anyone should watch Smallville that way.
Like, it's a terrible way to... But hey, if you only have time to watch five episodes and refresh yourself on the show before Crisis, watch those five. So, any last thoughts about Erica Durant's coming back as Lois Lane or anything else Crisis on Infinite Earths related?
I can't function. I don't think I'll be able to function until this whole thing is over.
Yeah, I mean, I'll tell you this, like, this is going to be a really fun window of the podcast to do, right? Because we're moving into season five now. It's like, hey, we know they're coming back. We don't know what it's going to be. As the saying goes, to travel, hopefully, is a better thing than to arrive. So if we show up and they just obliterate the Smallville Earth, then I might have a different opinion on the other side of this. This has totally recontextualized the series because I have my issues with the finale.
Which I'm scared of, remember.
Look at the Star Wars sequel trilogy. I don't know where you fall on that, but I mean,
Well, that's like exactly what I was thinking about, like, all day. I was
like, are you anyway. Like, what do you think of The Last Jedi? Let's just get it out there. Put it out there.
I have a problem with every single movie that's come out for different reasons.
Okay,
since
fair
we
enough.
Since we have not shied away from tangents since this entire podcast, and like since you kind of never do anyway on your podcast,
you guys like that.
Full
though,
disclosure,
right? I mean that's fun, right? I mean to me,
I think so. They get to learn about you,
right? That's how you get to know the co-hosts and the co-hosts and that kind of by these random tangents, little slices of life, right? So anyway,
What was it? Force Awakens. Bothered me because it was like really another big death ray machine thing. It just felt so they were too focused on making it similar to episode 4. Mm-hmm. But on the other hand, like I really loved Force Awakens because as a girl who grew up like, you know, reading like the Anakin Skywalker like Jedi quest books, like it was cool to imagine like, oh, there is like a chick Jedi out there. Like I just remember being in shock because I didn't think they would do it. When she's in the chair and like she's trying to use the force, I'm like, she's not going to have force powers. That's not going to happen. And it happened. And I just like I started crying, basically. I was like, I can't believe this is a thing. Last Jedi, I enjoyed, but I also realized that Ryan Wilson, is that his name?
Or Johnson.
Ryan.
But yes,
what's his name?
Johnson. A generic name like Wilson Johnson.
I know. It's like your fault, dude. Because I can't pronounce his name any differently. It's still Ryan.
It's so not Ryan. Johnson. It's Ryan.
Okay.
He spells it with an I. So
I know. That's what I'm saying. Is his name is generic except for how it's spelled, but I can't say Ryan any differently. Mm-hmm. But so I actually liked what he did, but I'm bothered because J.J. Abrams left and trusted him to continue his work, and then he just didn't. Mm-hmm. So it's like I like it, but I also realize that it was messed up, and then. The last movie, no matter what happens, I'm already upset because I know they have to reconstruct the entire thing just to fit in footage of Carrie Fisher. So this entire thing, like, I have a problem with the entire, like three movies that we've gotten, basically. And,
yeah.
Yeah, so that's, basically, if there's anything that sticks with me is I'm a huge fan, I'm really passionate, but, like, I do always view with a critical lens. Mm-hmm. It's not just, like, it happens, I'm happy with it. It's, I make them work for it, you know, and I think I like to think viewers like me hold a stuff to like a higher standard. Like that's why like we get better stuff.
Yes.
Maybe because people put out critique.
I love that approach. You got to make them work for it. Right. Because they are like working to earn your hard earned money. Right. I mean, like some people say like, I'll buy anything that says Star Trek on it. I'm like, well, that's a terrible mindset as a consumer because they're just going to say great. Like there are like sports teams out there. Right. That continue to be mediocre, but because their fans support them no matter what, they can be. And so if they're selling out the stadium no matter what, they're not going to change. They're not going to try to win the Super Bowl. They're just going to try and like, well, we're selling out. What's the problem, right? So I love your point of view on that. And I agree. It's like you just can't – like I'm not saying be a hater, but it's okay to have like some you know constructive criticism and some opinions about things. And I think and, hey, we live in this fandom world, especially online. Everything is so polarizing and all this stuff all the time. You know, I try to have a lot of fun with, you know, I nitpick Smovel, I have a lot of fun with it. But I think I try to get across that it comes from a place of love. Because if I didn't love this show,
you wouldn't have this podcast.
I wouldn't be doing a podcast about show. I wouldn't be spending all this time and effort into this stuff. But it's,
we wouldn't be here at midnight on a Friday.
Yes. Well, don't sell us out as losers, Lauren. but yeah, see, that's the thing. Like, I love the conversation about all this stuff, you know? And I think too often nowadays in fandoms, like, oh, what do you mean you didn't love it? It's like, well, hold on. It's okay. I'm still a fan. But yeah, I mean, to just briefly respond to your take on the Star Wars, love The Force Awakens. Love it. I would argue that it's like the third best Star Wars movie.
Interesting. Huh.
But there were a lot of questions that were opened by J.J. Abrams' mystery box, right?
Yeah.
That were completely disregarded in The Last Jedi, and therefore retroactively, The Last Jedi has kind of soured The Force Awakens for me. Because to your point, he had an outline, he had a story, and Rian Johnson just kind of threw that out. And I think, like, you know what? I don't necessarily blame Rian Johnson as much as, like, Disney for, like, just letting him. Like, is there no one watching this guy? Is no one keeping, like hey, guys,
well,
we have
a trilogy.
Well, but
also, here. Literally, J.J. Abrams, like, you should, like, he tried to have all the eggs. Like, I'm not using the right idiom, but he you know, he tried to do everything. And, like, that's why it didn't work out. It's like, you were the Star Trek guy. Then you tried to do Star Wars. Mm. And then you lost your vision on Star Wars. What'd you think was going to happen? Mm-hmm. Did you think you could have it all? No.
So it's tough because then episode 9, I don't know about you, but I'm like, all right, I have almost no hype for it. And that's sad to say.
Oh, no, I have a lot of hype for it because, okay, episode 9 is kind of like the crisis for me. last note on Star Wars, I'm excited because there is actually a chance that Hayden Christensen could come back. Like, with mm-hmm. the stuff that they've been doing with these movies, like, it might actually happen at this point. So, like, I if it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen. But right now I'm drunk on the thought because the last couple years in television programming and, like, movie production, it shows that people can do really crazy things.
You know, I would be surprised if he doesn't come back. I mean, I definitely think we're going to see the Force Ghost, Ian McGregor, as Obi-Wan.
Oh, and by that logic, do you think that Hayden has to be there if Obi-Wan's going to be there?
I think so. Because they're the three, and it's the Skywalker saga.
Zach, did you know that my first crush ever was Hayden Christensen? It's kind of why I got into Star Wars. I saw him twirling his stupid little lightsaber in the Attack of the Clones promos, and I was like, what is that? What is a Star Wars? I need to learn.
What is a Star Wars? Oh, my goodness.
No, because I don't know. Like, I never saw. I remember, like, girls would had, like, Amidala dolls when I was, like, younger, but, like, I wasn't one of those girls. I never saw the movie. I just didn't know what it was. So we're not talking about Lois Lane at all.
So yeah, I just want to point out that Lauren is like, hey, let's do a podcast about Eric Durant's being on Crisis. I'm like,
Zach,
hey,
this just means
sure.
that we need to talk more because clearly we have a lot of talking to do. We just need clearly. To not do it on listener time.
Very true. No, this is great. I had no idea we're going to talk about the state of Star Wars. Like, that is its own can of worms, right? And I will never like do a Star Wars podcast or anything, but I will sneak in my opinions. If you guys have listened to the commentaries or stuff that Lance and I are doing on the Patreon or even other things, I sneak in some Star Wars digs because honestly, I think The Last Jedi derailed the whole thing, and it's like, where do you go from there? Oh, I don't know. Let's bring back the Emperor. What? Like, I understand why you're doing it, but it's literally the dumbest thing you could do.
I actually do agree.
Like, but what else can they do? Like, it's the only thing they could do at this point, but it undercuts Anakin and Vader's sacrifice and return. My favorite scene in Star Wars, and we're going to wrap up here in a second. My favorite scene in Star Wars is the end of Return of the Jedi. When Vader looks back and forth between Luke and the Emperor, and he throws in the pit, I'm like, oh, the feels every time, right? And it's amazing. And to say the Emperor survived, and it's going to take Rey and Kylo Ren to band together to defeat Palpatine, that's gonna make me mad. If that happens, I don't care how well it's executed. If you just undid, it's the final undoing of everything from Return of the Jedi. It's like, oh, Han and Leia going to live happily ever after? Nope. They're going to have an asshole son who kills all the Jedi and break up. Luke going to start the Jedi Order? Nope. He's going to try to kill his nephew in his sleep and then go be a hermit on a planet. Nobody can find him. It's like, oh, you thought Anakin fulfilled the prophecy and defeated the Sith? No, it's going to take Rey and Kylo.
As an Anakin stan, like, because I was a Hayden Christensen stan, I also, that pisses me off. Anakin's the chosen one. No one else is.
All right. Well, it was a lot of fun talking about Star Wars with you, Lauren, tonight. In summary,
I love Lois Lane, I promise.
We're very excited about Lois Lane showing up. I mean, what a time to be alive as a small fan. I'm going to keep saying the same, generic cliches, but, like, I don't know how else to express myself. This is insane. Like, Clark
really
Kent
is.
And Lois Lane from Smallville are coming back. You can watch them on the CW this December. I mean, what? Like, I feel like I've gone into an alternate universe. Like, I'm on Earth 2001 right now. It's crazy.
I will go as far to say that's why I have not been able to use logic tonight and, like, actually do what I showed up here to do, just because, like, I could not function past, like, 12 p.m. today or whenever the news came out.
Well, just wait till Rosenbaum gets signed on,
Oh, man, this is just going to be a really, really crazy, crazy crossover. And, I don't know if you're going to do more of these episodes, but I can't wait to hear them. Thanks for having me on for this one, even though I kind of...
Oh, this is great. No, I love these kind of conversations. These are the conversations I love the best. Just back and forth, talking about whatever comes to mind, and we find a way to tie it back in, right? That's what we do. So I really enjoyed it. That was great. Thank you for all the tangents, because as you yourself have noted, I love doing tangents myself on the podcast. That was great. I guess now, whenever a Smallville person gets cast, we're going to do these 0 point whatevers you know, before the crisis.
Unless it's Kristen Crook, she literally.
There is no way she's coming back. I will literally.
That was just like my dig at Lana. Like, oh. If Kristen Crook is announced as coming back, like, no, we're not going to do an episode on her.
I will give $100 to a charity of your choice if Kristen Crook comes back as Lana. There is no way. And now watch, guys. I'm going to wake up tomorrow. My phone's going to be like, Kristen Crook's back. Lana Lang, she's got the Prometheus suit. It's great. It's great stuff. So yes, regardless of whoever it is, I've set the precedent by doing Chindro. If some Smallville actor returns as their character in Crisis on Infinite Earths, you will hear live coverage, you know, breaking news coverage from Always Hold on to Smallville in our Crisis special. So, Lauren, thanks so much for staying up late, talking some Lois Lane and everything else in between tonight.
Everything else.
Lauren's going to be back later this season. Mm-hmm. So where can people find you out there? I realize that I didn't even introduce Lance, and we didn't even sign off in the last episode. But, I mean, you guys know who we are. But Lauren, you're a very special guest. So why don't you tell people where they can find you out there online?
You guys can find me anywhere on the internet at Lauren Neckalwin. It's kind of difficult to spell, but it will be linked. Or you can just find me anywhere in Zach's mentions at this point, because we're just, you know, fangirling and fanboying about all the Smallville things.
All the Smallville things indeed. So anyway, guys, until the next Smallville cast member is cast in the Crisis on Infinite Earths, always hold on to Smallville. Like Superman.